I want to finish off tonight the studies I've been doing on the race of faith, which we began back in, I believe it was last November. And every time, or almost every time when I've had a session, I've been just going through these series. As we've done in previous weeks, I just want to read those two or three verses that we've been reading from Hebrews chapter 12. You know, every time I read these verses, you know, just almost get something fresh at each time. You know, as I look at it, I think, wow, this is so good. And it's Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, really, is our text verses, but we'll read verses 1 to 3 because I just like the words in verse 3. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Now as we began last November or sometime around there, looking at this series of teaching, the race of faith. And we saw right in the very first week that there is a race that we must run. You know, this race has been set before us. This race, we were begun on this race by Jesus. You know, the Bible here says that he is the author of our faith. He's the one that set us off on the race. He's the one that got us going. It was like in any race, there's the person that starts the race. Either it be firing a pistol or waving a flag or whatever, they get them off. You know, or a klaxon or whatever it is that they use nowadays. But there's someone that starts the race. And there's someone that finishes the race. And Jesus here, it says in this verse, in verse 2, it says, he is the author and finisher of our race. If Jesus begun it, then Jesus will bring it to an end. You know, I once heard a little story which, it's got nothing to do with races or anything, but it was about a man who was trying to get his way home. You know, and he began this long and arduous journey to get back. And the last part of his journey meant he had to cross through a large wooded area. You know, the sun was beginning to go down, and you know, as he approached the wooded area just on the outskirts of this forest, he met a man chopping wood. You know, and he asked this man the best directions to get through the forest. He didn't want to veer off and get lost in, because he knew it was getting dark. Didn't want to get stuck in the forest. We asked the man the best way to get through the forest. And the man didn't say anything. He just bent down and picked up a piece of wood. And then he set fire to it. And he handed it to the traveller. And he says, he says, that will get you home. You know, that light will take you through the forest. You know, Jesus begun us on the race, and he is the light. He will get us through to the end of the race. Doesn't matter how long the race is. You know, it could be a short sprint. It might be a long marathon. But Jesus will see us to the end. You know, that's why it says in this reading we have twice, it says here, looking unto Jesus in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. And then it says in verse 2, it says, consider him. Look to him, consider him. Because he's the one that's going to see you through. You know, we used to, with the children, we used to sing songs like, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. You know, another song we sing was talking about a ship. It says that he will be the pilot taking us into the harbour. I can't think exactly how it goes. So, do you want a pilot? Signal then to Jesus. And if you want someone to lead you home, look no further than Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who begun us on the race, and he's the one that will bring it to its conclusion. And that's the theme of the message tonight. We're going to be looking at finishing the course. We've seen that we've started on the course. We've seen that we've got to do our training. We've seen that there's a lot of preparation needed. We've seen that we need to strip down, and so we're running light, so we're not carrying excess baggage. We've got to run with endurance. We're in for the long haul. But there comes a time in that race where we actually cross the finish line. You know, there always comes a point in anybody's race where they have to come to the end. Jesus is the author, the beginner, he's the finisher of our faith, and he will bring it to its conclusion. You know, I want to read a verse in Revelation, because this is the words of Jesus in Revelation 1 verse 8. And I just like this, it goes in with what we've just been saying. And here, Jesus speaking these words, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now we know those words because we sing them in songs. Now, he's the Alpha, the Omega. In other words, what that means, he's the Alpha, he's the start. Because Alpha was the first letter of the Greek alphabet, or I should say it is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So it's the first and the last. Jesus is at the beginning and he's at the end. And that's what actually the next few words go on to say in that verse. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Then a few verses later in verse 11, he says, I'm the first and the last. You know, Jesus is at the beginning. Jesus set us off on the race, and Jesus will see that we get to the end. You know, he's the finisher of the race. Now, how we run our race is important. We've seen that over the weeks. You know, we've got to run, I think it was it last week, we've got to run as though we're going to win the race. We've got to run our race so that we are the winners. We've got to have that aggressive attitude that we are going to win. We're going to make it to the end. So how we run our race is important. We've got to run well. We've got to run, we'll look at another verse tonight. It says that we've got to compete according to the rules. But it's equally as important how we finish. That we finish well and we finish strong. A lot of people can finish a race without actually finishing because they can drop out. You know, it's important, yes, it's important that we run, but it's important that we actually get to the finish line. Because unless we get to the finish line, we don't receive any, in any race, you don't receive any recognition, or you certainly won't receive the prize or the crown unless you get to the finish line. You know, and you'll see it in race after race. You know, a lot of people, they drop out. And a lot of people don't remember those sort of athletes. But the ones who go on to great victories, the ones who run against the odds and cross the line, are the ones that are remembered. So it's important that we finish well and we finish strong. There is a verse in the scriptures in the New Testament, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. And he says this in Philippians 1, the first few verses of Philippians 1. Verse 6 says this, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, talking about Jesus, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, what God has begun in you, he will bring it to an end. He will bring it to its conclusion. What God has started, he will finish. You know, there's a, I was at the Christian Resources Exhibition over sort of Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Peterborough, at the showground there in Peterborough. And one of the days I started walking around some of the stands that were there and just having a look at what people were offering and what they were, services they were sort of there to make us aware of. And there was a stand there that was selling t-shirts and sweaters and those types of things. And on one of them, it had this, and I've seen it in other places, it says, "Be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet." God hasn't finished with me, but God will finish what he started. He may not have finished it yet. We may still be running our race, but God will bring it to an end. You know, we will come to that place where Ephesians puts it like this, that we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We come to that perfect man. God will finish what he has begun in us. And that should encourage us. Yes, we might not be there yet, but we're on the way. We're in the race. We're running. God is bringing us to the place where he wants us to be. You know, what God has begun, he will bring to the finish. Finishing the course. It's important, as I said, that we finish well and we finish strong. And I want to just go through three hallmarks of the race of faith, which will enable us to finish strong or finish well. And we're going to read tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We touched on this last week, these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 26 and 27. If you remember, last week we spoke about the running to win, which it says in verse 24, run in such a way that you may obtain it, the prize. The previous week to that, we looked at verse 26, where it says, I run not with uncertainty. I run, you know, we've got to be certain in the race that we're running. But here, one of the hallmarks of our race is what we read in verse 27. But we're going to read verse 26 as well. It says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There we have a word which we don't like to hear, and it's the word discipline. You know, very often we talk about discipline as correction. We say, well, we discipline our children. You know, we raise them and we correct them. But discipline here just means to really control our bodies. You know, we've got to, it's like any athlete, you don't sort of live a diet of McDonald's and KFC if you're running a race. You know, you've got to discipline it right. You've got to eat the right types of proteins and carbohydrates and all the right food groups. You know, you can't just fill out and, you know, I think Joanna said this a few weeks ago. You know, she's talking about leaving home, you know. She's worked out her meals for every night of the week. You know, one night it was Chinese, one night it was KFC, one then it was fish and chips. See, she's got all these meals planned out. That's not a healthy diet. You can't live on takeouts 7 days a week. You know, you've got to have a balanced diet. You've got to discipline your body. That means you've got to go to, you've got to get the right amount of rest and sleep. You know, you've got to feed it the right things. You've got to bring it into subjection, as it says. Because without discipline, we will disqualify ourselves. And anyone that's disqualified does not finish well. There's no glory in disqualification. There's only the glory when you cross the finish line. I don't know if you remember those athletes a few years back, and you know they have a, you know they ran so well, they ran a great race, and then when they crossed the finish line, a few days later it came out that you know they were they'd been taking steroids and drugs, and they're stripped of their crown, stripped of their medal, stripped of their victor's wreath. You know there's no glory in that. The glory is for those that run well, that finish well. And discipline is one of the hallmarks of the race of faith. Paul writes to a young man, a young pastor, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2. And this is the verse I sort of quoted just a minute ago. It says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You know, you don't get the winner's crown or the winner's medal unless you run your race according to the rules. You can't start off running and then hitch a lift on a bus or pick up a taxi or something like that and then jump out for the last few hundred yards and run the way. You've got to run right. You've got to run well. You know, discipline is important, an important hallmark of the race of faith. That means we're going to, in our race of faith, we might have to discipline our lives. It means we might have to cut out a few things that aren't good for us. Doesn't mean they're not bad, but it might mean that at times they're not good for us. And Paul said that, you know, some of the things I do are not always, he says that they're legal, but they're not always helpful. You know, there are things in our lives that it might mean that we need to spend a little bit more time, taking rest rather than sort of stopping up late and watching TV or something. And or we might need to spend a bit of time, a little bit more time in prayer on some occasions and instead of doing other things. You know, there's always things that we perhaps can do or we should do and God will deal with us, and that's how we discipline our bodies. Making sacrifices is another word we can use there. Without discipline, we become disqualified. That's what Paul writes in these verses. I don't want to disqualify myself, so I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Then another hallmark of the race is that we finish our race with joy. You know, joy is one of those hallmarks in our reading in Hebrews that we read. You remember it said, he says that we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Paul, or the writer here says, you know, Jesus ran his race with joy, even knowing what was ahead of him. And when he was facing the cross, he still faced it with joy. Not because he enjoyed going through the suffering. Now, no one, I think we said on Sunday, no one would enjoy that type of suffering. You know, and they called it the most cruel means of execution there was. It was so cruel, an execution. The cross. That it certainly, you certainly wouldn't have wanted to go that way. But it says Jesus endured the cross with joy. What was it that enabled him to face that situation or to run that race? Well, it was the joy of finishing. Not so much the joy, but the joy of getting the prize. And what was the prize? It was you and me. It was his bride. You know, he knew what would be accomplished Which is what, so that's why he faced that cross with, it says with joy, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. You know, the cross was a shameful execution. There was no glory in the cross at all. But Jesus endured it with joy because he knew that he would get to the finish line. You know, joy is a hallmark of our race. Peter writes these words. If you want to turn this up, this is 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 9. Sorry, 6 to 9. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9. And he writes these. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now there, in our race, we might have obstacles, we might have hurdles that we need to overcome. But here he says, you rejoice greatly in this. Though even though just for a little while there's a few trials along the way, you know, it's trying and testing your faith. He says, then he goes in verse 8, he says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, joy gets you to the end of your faith. It will see you through to the end of your faith. You can rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. You know, there is an end to the race. The end of our race is the salvation of our soul. You know, we're coming, when you come to the end, what we would call death, or when Jesus comes and we've run our race and he comes and calls us home. You know, then, yes, we're saved now, but then we will be saved then. You know, the salvation of our souls, the salvation of our bodies. You know, there is a prize to be won. But we only get that prize at the end of the race. That brings us on to another one of the hallmarks of the race, and that's faithfulness. You know, at the end of our race, we would like to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you can just have the well done. You can just get a well done. Some people say, well, that's all I need, just to hear the words well done. But, you know, talks about that faithful, being faithful. You can do a lot of things and you can get to the end of the race and you might not have been faithful in everything, but you'll still cross the line. It depends. Yes, it's important how we run. You know, I keep saying this, it's important how we, but it's important how we finish as well. We've got to finish strong. We've got to finish well. We've got to finish with hearing that commendation. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's just turn back to a scripture in Hebrews. You know, right back at the very beginning of our studies, one of the things we said about was these witnesses in the stands. This verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In the last few verses of chapter 11, it tells us that all these witnesses, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know, the way I understand this scripture here, the way it's talking about a relay race, where it's important how each person runs their race. We might say, well, it doesn't really matter about us. You know, we can live how we like, or we can run our race how we want. But these have done their lap. You know, they've run their race. They've done their lap. You know, a relay race is normally over four laps, four runners. You know, and the first one runs. Then when he gets to the end of his race, he passes on the baton to the second runner, who picks up the race, and then does his lap, and then he passes the baton on to the third one, who runs his race. Now, the first three can all run well, but if the fourth person doesn't run well, the whole team loses. So it doesn't matter how good one, two, and three you've done. If number four flunks and fouls, then they let the whole team down. They let the whole side down. So it's important how every person runs, because they've run their race and they're looking to us to run our race. Because if we don't make it, we let the whole team down. If we don't run that race well, they suffer. For want of a better word. You know, what it says of those witnesses, just back up a few more verses, and there's something else we can think about. Talking about being faithful. It says here, it says in verse 35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Could it be, this is just a question, could it be that there is a better resurrection? We're all going to be resurrected if we believe on Jesus. There comes that time. But for some, there may be a better resurrection on how they run their race. Were they good and faithful servants? Because you can get through your Christian life and you might not be very faithful in things down here, but you still, because you're saved, you still get your place. And it's just something that word, it's about obtaining a better resurrection, something we can think about. You know, there might be a better resurrection for those who are faithful, for those who are running their race well. It says here, it says that God's provided something better for us. You know, there is something better. You know, these men and women that Hebrews outlines are all under the old covenant. You know, they had received promises, they'd received things, but they hadn't won their prize. But under the new covenant, you know, there's something better for us. And it may be that there's a better resurrection. Depends on how we run. Now, I need to do a little bit more study on that and sort of think it through, but it's just something just for us to consider. Maybe there is levels. Depend on how faithful we have been. But faithfulness, joy, discipline, three hallmarks of the race of faith. But one thing that comes right at the end of the race, and it's the one thing that everybody's running for, and that's the prize. The prize. You know, and in those verses in Corinthians that we read, in 1 Corinthians 9, it says in verse 25, it says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, we're running our race for a crown that doesn't fade away. And I believe it's, although we didn't read it, one of the verses in Peter, 1 Peter 1 verse 4, talks about an inheritance undefiled that does not fade away. You know, there is an imperishable crown. There's a prize that's not going to fade away. You know, and we're running for that prize. Timothy puts it like this. And I'm going to close with these verses in Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul's writing. He says, look, he's writing to Timothy. He says, look, he says, my time's coming to an end. You know, it won't be long before I've gone from you. My departure is almost, at hand. And he says in verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. In other words, what he's saying here, he says, I've disciplined myself. I've run with endurance. That's fighting the good fight. I've finished the race. I've not been disqualified. I've finished strong. I've finished well. I've kept the faith. Then he says, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, there is a crown waiting for us, for those that have run their race, for those that have crossed the finish line. There's a crown of righteousness laid up. It's the prize. It's the trophy. It's what we've been running our race for. That inheritance, undefiled, that doesn't fade away, that Peter writes about. But we've got to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to finish the race. We've got to actually finish the race. Now, the prize only goes to those that finish. Not to those that drop out. Not to those that fall by the wayside. We've got to finish the race. Now, if we stumble and fall in the race, we pick ourselves up and get ourselves back on track. Now, we don't drop out, but we just pick ourselves up and keep running. Although we are in a race, and I said we've got to run as though we're going to win. Fortunately, the race that we're in, it doesn't matter who wins. All we've got to do is finish it. We've got to cross the line. Because we're all winners. Because we're in Christ Jesus. We're all winners in Christ. It is the author. He set us up on the race. Now we're at different levels. We're running at different speeds. But he will finish the race for us. Finishing the course. Finishing the race. It's just as important how we finish the race as it is how we run the race. And we've spent a lot of time looking at how we run the race. But let's have this in our hearts and minds as we go from here tonight. It's important how we finish, because there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us. That's why Paul could write in, and we've looked at in previous weeks, where he says that I press toward the prize. I'm pressing on towards the prize. We've got to run our race, pressing towards the prize. That crown of righteousness which is laid up for us. And I like what it says here. It says, not only to me, but also to all who've loved his appearing. When we run our race well, when we cross the finish line, we've completed the race. That means everybody that's gone before, all them witnesses, they get their crown as well. Because they're waiting on us to run our race. We're all going to get our crowns. You know, one thing in things like the Olympics and athletics is that when they do well, it's not just might not just be the person that does the final, like in something like football, when the team wins the cup. It's not the person that puts the goals in the net that gets all the glory. The whole team wins the cup. They all get to handle the cup. They all get to wear the medals. You know, it's a team effort, and we're in a team. We're Team Jesus, running our race. And every one of us will get the crown. Now, we might not wear it long, because the Bible talks in other places about casting our crowns before him. We're going to take it off and throw it at Jesus' feet, but we're going to get our price. If we finish well, we finish strong. And we run well. Amen.